Rosh Hashalom. Okay. Topic of today's shiur is B'chukosayim Lo Shelechu. It's a pasuk in Achrei Mos that having to do with not following the statutes of the Goyim. Some Mishom say maybe it's only the Zayin Amamim, because that's the context of the pasuk is talking about. But most Rishonim learn it's a general idea of not following non-Jewish practice. And the question that we have to deal with is what exactly are the parameters of this prohibition? Because especially living in amongst Gentiles, many things, you know, creep into the Jewish society that really comes from the non-Jews. So the question is, what is permissible and what is not permissible? What is going too far? And what is within the still within the parameters of halacha? And that's what we're going to try to talk about. This, you know, stems dress. It stems things that we do in shul, in terms of are we copying from the church, or are we not copying from the church, and what is the story? Okay, so the discussion usually begins with a tshuva of the Marik, Yosef Kolon. And he discusses whether there were special clothing, garments that the, you know, the doctors would wear, you know, as a sign of that he's the doctor. And is there a problem for a Jew, to a Jewish doctor, to wear these garments? Or is it something that we say is set aside, that we're learning it from the Goyim, so is that prohibited or not? So basically, the Marik gives two klolim of what is prohibited for a Jew to wear or do. And he says like this. Number one, anything that is pritzus, anything that is not considered modestly clad, modest is forbidden. And that's number one. And number two, anything the non-Jews do that we don't understand why they're doing it, we can't do either. And both these things, says the Marit, fall under the category of Choseim Lo Seleichu. So the question is, what does this mean? I mean, what does priests have to do with Choseim Lo Seleichu? I mean, priests, this could be stama, you know, that you shouldn't begala erva. There are other psukim in the Torah for that. Why does this come under the category of Choseim Lo Seleichu? So the Maram Shik explains in the tshuva that the idea is like this, that whenever we are doing something that a Jew is not supposed to be doing, so the assumption is, well, so why are you doing it? Why is the Jew doing it? He's doing it, we assume, to be like the guy. He wants to be like the guy. So pritzus is something that we're not allowed to wear, unmodest of men, women, unmodest clothing. So if you wear unmodest clothing, not only are you violating the prohibition of not being modest, which various psukim in the Torah speak about, you know, not looking, los asur acharei levavchem v'acharei neichem, los yirelecha evers dovar, different things about that. But besides those isurim, by the fact that you're doing something that a Jew is not supposed to be doing, we view it as the reason you're doing it. So why are you doing it? Because that's the style of the Gentiles, and you want to be like the Gentiles. So therefore, you violate the Chusem Lo Selechu as well. And if it's something that Ein Botam, that they're doing it, there's a style out there. There's no real reason for it, but that's the style, the fad. And you, the Jew, is doing it. Why are you doing it? There's no reason that they're... In other words, if they do it, then there's a good reason why they're doing it. So that reason can apply. They have a certain type of hood that they make and a thing, and it's, you know, convenient. So it's not a... And it's user-friendly for everybody, so a Jew could do that also. Because yesh motam, there's a reason why they... But if it's a certain style, a certain fad, the ein botam, there's no real reason. So they're just doing it. Kacha. That's what the goyim decide to do. That's the fad of the time. So for a Jew to go ahead and do that, says the Maharam Shik, that's indicative of why he wants to be like the goyim. So in other words, what the Maharam Shik explains is that the issur really is to be like the goyim. It's that the examples of the marik, of the pritzus, and ein botam, which seemingly doesn't explain why it's the chuseim, so now I explain. In other words, because pritzus, you shouldn't be doing, so the only reason you're dressed in pritzus is because you want to be like the goyim. Or, why are you doing this fad? You have a certain hairstyle. You know, a certain hairstyle. There's no purpose of the hairstyle that it should be like this. But you want to have that hairstyle because that's what the goyim are doing. If there would be a reason that this hairstyle face, I don't know, helps from the rain, I don't know. You know, there's something like that. So, okay, I understand. You have a right to... If the goyim figure out something practical that's good, we can learn. You know, if a guy invents, I don't know, who invented the car, the airplane, I don't know. What? Jews. But I'm sure there were plenty of non-Jewish kind of Edison. Light bulb.
And the cars, for sure.
Right? In other words, if there's a good invention that a guy comes up with, so gesunte hey, because it's functional, and why can't I benefit from it also? So, but if it's ein botam, there's no real. It's just a fad. It's not a, you know. So for you to go ahead and dress that way or act that way is a violation of chusem lo selech.
Is Maram Shik talking specifically about like style?
No, Maram Shik is trying to explain the tshuva of the Marik. The Marik gives these, and one second, and based on this, the Marik says that the clothing that the doctor wore is fine, because it's not kritzus, and it's yesh botam, because it's a way of identifying the doctor. Like you go to a doctor's office or a hospital, you see the one who's wearing that certain cloak, you know, he's the doctor, so that would be fine, because there's nothing wrong with that. It's not pritzus, and it's yesh botam, so that would be okay. What the Maram Shik did was just explain the tshuva of the Marik, and this tshuva's Marik is quoted in the Ramah, and to explain what's the connection between ein botam and pritzus. You know, they're two seemingly two disjoint things, and explain, no, they're all part of this rubric of Chusei Mosaleichu, meaning because the Issa really is the motivation. But, you know, normally Dvarm Shebelev Ein Dvarm, so I don't know what your motivation is, but if you're doing an action where it's clear from the action what, you know, so even though you might not have that, but if it's, if the action is something that's indicative that you want to be like a guy, that's what the action is screaming out, so we assume that that's what you want to do, even though maybe that wasn't your intent, but Dvarm Shebelev Ein Dvarm, so Lamaisa, you did this action, and this action is what the goyim do, because it's not something that a Jew should be doing, either because it's negative, or it's just shtus, a shtus ba'alma. So why are you doing it? It's a shtus ba'alma. You're a normal person. Why should you be doing this shtus ba'alma? The answer is because you want to. That's the fad. You want to be part of the style of the time, and the fad of the day, and therefore that's it is sir. That's the right. Yeah. So you were.
But just to clarify, the Maharishi, when he's explaining the Maharik, when he's like, when he defines action, is he talking about any avera in general, or just
Well, anything. I mean, but he had the tshuva happened to be speaking about the wearing of the doctor's clothing.
Like if I eat McDonald's, would the Maharishik also say that that's for? Because
if you eat tray for food, is that also b'chuchasei mosaleichu? It's hard to say that there was this moment at Isser Lav, so Isser Lav. I mean, maybe that also should be okay. Maybe in Shemaim you'll get an X by the Kusayim Losei Lechu also. Right, that's Rabbi Nem is saying a good point. Maybe the reason, so maybe it's not necessarily that you want to be like Goy, you just, it's cheaper. Trade for food is cheaper.
What if non Jews adopt the idea of a Jew, and what if non Jews are wearing out
of this? Oh, excellent question. Excellent question. What if non Jews start putting on tefillin? What if they start sitting in the sukkah and start taking lulav? Can they take away the whole? So we'll get to that. We'll get to that. What's your name again?
Donny.
Friedenberg.
Is there an opinion that Hukasa optimally applies if it was an action that was done originally for a road out there?
Oh, so again, we'll get to that too. But I'll be pashta, so what we said now.
It's more than that.
Right. Now, the Vilna Gaon argues with this Ramah. And he says it's not true. That even if there's, even if it's Yesh Kol Tam, but if we're learning from them, then it's no good. Even if it's Yesh Bo Tam, because the discussion of Gemara about how do you kill the Haruge Bezdin. So one of the ideas is to kill with a sword. Right? So that was the way the Malchus used to kill. But then there was a reason, because it shouldn't, you know, it's a cleaner way of killing, so to speak. So, but Yesh Bo Tam, so the Gemara discusses maybe that, you know, to do it in a certain way, the way the Goyim did it, could be a violation of B'chuk HaSeyim. So even if something that has a Tam to it, but if we wouldn't have necessarily figure this out on our own, and we're learning it from them, so then that's a violation of the Chusayim. So the clothing of the doctor, so it's Yesh Bo Tam, but we're learning it from them. we're copying it. That was unique what the, you know, the Gentiles did. So therefore, that's b'chuk haseim mosim lechem. Even if yesh bo tam. This comes up in the discussion on every year about graduation, about the cap and gown. Is the cap and gown a violation of the b'chuk haseim? So Rabbi Gedalia Berger pointed out to me that according to the Gra, it should come out that, you know, since he says this thing that the heter of the barik is not a good heter, meaning that the doctor will not be able to wear that particular cloak because it's because we're getting it from them, even though it's yesh bo tam, but it's not something we would have come up with ourselves and we learned it from them. So therefore, that's a violation of Koseim Lo Selecho. And therefore, that would be the discussion as well by the graduation, by the cap and gown. So, Avraham Soloveitcher, I was told, said, you know, it's, it should be mutter because it's to identify who the graduates are. But according to the Gaon, it's clearly something we're taking from them. It's something we wouldn't have come up with necessarily this style on our own, and we're taking it from them. So then we view this as b'chuseim lo seilechu, and according to the Vilna Gaon, it might be an issur to wear the cap and gown. So I guess those that wear the cap and gown are relying on this this heter of the Ramah. Now,
does the reason have to be specific to this exact fashion, or in general, like they feel like doctors should wear this specific uniform, or in general, doctors should wear something distinguishing? Is there a reason for the same thing?
In other words, maybe you could say that the fact that it
maybe name tag is fine. Like, is there a reason to distinguish between two, or the fact that doctors should wear something that distinguishes them, therefore you wear anything, even if it's a doctor's uniform?
According to the Ramah.
According to the Ramah.
Yeah, in other words, if the doctor is wearing anything to distinguish himself, so there's nothing wrong with the. So there's a svara for that. It's not preetzus and it's yesh bo tam, so there's nothing wrong for us to copy.
So it could be anything that would be okay.
Right.
To identify.
Right. Now, the Vilna Gaon says more than that. The Vilna Gaon also says another idea that if it's something that is part of the non-Jewish ritual, this is so then that's totally usher for us, even if we have a pasuk in Chumash that says the same thing. If it's part of their chok l'avodah zarah, then we can't do it. So, now let's take this slowly. So this means to say, so they're going to start sitting in the sukkah, we can't sit in the sukkah. No. It's obvious that anything that's a mitzvah that we have, they can't usurp our mitzvahs. We have our mitzvahs. They can't take away our mitzvahs. Only things that are not an obligation to do it in this particular way, you can do it this way, you can do it that way, and we're doing it in a certain way, and that's the Torah, say, described it to do in a certain way. But if the goyim, it becomes part of their religious service, then we have to stop doing it in our way, because it's a chok l'avodah zarah. So based on this, the Vilna Gaon says that on Shavuos, it's usher to have the plants in the, you know, the special, you know, the shuls have the different plants that they put for Shavuos, because since the goyim do it in their churches, I don't know what part of the year they do it. Easter, I don't know when they do it. but they do it. So that's part of their chokhla of Avodah Zarah. So then even if there are reasons that we have, we want to do it similar to Maimon Har Sinai and things like that, but they usurped it for us. They can usurp, because it's not a mitzvah. This is not something, it's just a hanhaga that we do, but they start doing it, and when they do it, it becomes part of their religious ceremony, so then we no longer can do it. Now the example that's quoted in the Tshuva, Maria Assad quotes from Rashi and Chumash about that the Avos used to what? Bring a korban on a matzeva. There are two types of things. There's a mizbeach and there's a matzeva. So matzeva is one stone and you bring the sacrifice on one stone. Mizbeach is many stones that are put together. So the Avos used to bring on a matzeva. But now the pasuk says that matzeva is also, right? So why is it also the Avos? I can't do what Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov did? The answer is yes, you can't. Because now the Goyim, since the Goyim used it for their Avodah Zarah, so therefore they took that away from us. And in other words, there was no ever a mitzvah that I have to do a dafka ba'ofen shel matzeva, but then the others were knowing that way. But since the goyim now dafka do it this way, and this is part of their avodah zarah practice, we now are forbidden to do so. So now, one of the main things that comes into this discussion is whether you're allowed to get married in a shul. Okay? This is a very important point. That, you see, getting married in a shul, there's no mitzvah per se to get married in a shul. You can get married anywhere. You can get married in the park. You can get married wherever, in the hall. You can get married in Marina Del Rey, you can get married in the Young Israel of this, you can get married here. So there's no specific place that you have to get married. So, and the Mariel, who says the minhag was that people got married in shul. That was the minhag. The Mariel discusses that they had a whole thing, after davening, they would have the chuppah in the morning, a whole... in the old days, people used to get married on Fridays. That was a popular thing because people couldn't afford to have both a Suda Shabbos and a Suda Chasana. So they would kill two birds with one stone by getting married on Friday morning and have the Suda later in the day. That was a popular thing in those days. So the Maria Sad says... So there was a minhag. Clearly the minhag was that people got married in shul. And the reason for this was it's makom of kedusha. And marriage is a holy, sanctified thing. So why not get married in the chatzir beis knesses, which is a minhag to get married under the stars, but by the shul or in the shul. But then... the goyim, that became their ritual, that you get married in the church. So the question is, can Jews now still get married in a shul or not? And many rabbanim signed an isser, predominantly Hungarian rabbanim, signed an isser that you cannot allow to have a chasana in a shul. And even not Hungary, there was a Rosh Yeshiva here, Rav David Lifshitz, was a Rosh Yeshiva in the yeshiva here for many years, and he would never go to a chasana in a shul, even though he wasn't a Hungarian Rav, he was a Suvalk. So he was a different, but it apparently wasn't only Hungarian Rabbanim. Other Rabbanim also, European Rabbanim, also took upon this halacha. And the idea being that it's part of Kursem Lo Se Lechol. You get married in the shul. And that's because it was a Chok L'Avodah Zarah. And again, if there would be a mitzvah that you had to get married in shul, if you have to get married in shul, so then they can't take away our mitzvahs. But if it's not a mitzvah, it's just one possibility of getting married in the shul. So that's the nihug. So now they put it on their books that this is their thing. It's part of their religion. So now all these rabbanim signed an isser. The Dori Doris that you should get married in a shul. Well, not finished yet, but you want to wait till I finish? Okay. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, in a certain way, was, gave a heter to get married in a shul. And this was, you know, some of Rav Moshe's heterim, especially the Hungarian rabbanim, were not always too happy with, because this is an example of something that was, you know, this was, you know, signed by many Gedolei Rabbanim of from those generations, that they, so Moshe writes something very chiddushic. He thinks that no, if we would get married in a church, that would be awesome. But we're getting married in a shul. So now we're not doing what they're doing. We're getting married in a shul. We're not getting married in a church. If we get married in a church, that would be awesome. And he writes, and what's his raya? His raya is, so why don't you say that, you can't daven in a shul anymore? Because they're praying in the church. That's what he writes. So no one's going to say that. So just like they're not going to say that. So I think it's a simple distinction. I don't know. Moshe is the God of Hador, so I don't know what he would say back to me. But I think it's a simple distinction. That's what Rabbi Berger said this, and others. Rabbi Dali Berger may have said this last year. But that is that. There's a mitzvah to daven in shul. It's not just it's in the Gemara to daven in shul.
A mitzvah to the Rabbanan, whatever you want to say. Thank you.
So therefore they can't take away our mitzvahs. That's a given, that the goyim can't take away our mitzvahs, or else they can take away our whole Torah. It's not mistaken. The only thing they can take away is something that's not an exact result. Mitzvah to daven to get married in shul. The mitzvah daven in shul. That's brought down. There's a Tosefta in Bava Metzia says that kofin, that the Bnei Ha'ir kofin zel zet to build a shul. Every community is supposed to have a shul. Meaning, it's not enough that you should, that everyone's a nice guy, that you'll lend your basement 1 week and the other guy will lend his basement for everyone to daven. No, you need a makom kavua l'tefillah. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that that's part of the mitzvah of Asuli Mikdash, is to have a shul, to build a shul. So, there's a mitzvah to daven in the shul. So therefore they can't take away, so the fact that they pray in their churches is not going to, but marriage is not a, there's no Indian to, you know, a mitzvah per se to, there was an adifus to do so because it's a machem kadosh, but it was not a, you know, the Gemara never says anywhere this is an Indian to get married in shul. The Gemara says it's an Indian to daven in shul, but not to get married in shul. So the fact that we daven in shul is not going to, we have to stop because they're praying in their church. But the fact that they get married in the church perhaps is a reason that we should stop getting married in the shul. So Lamaisa, Ara Yomazer, people are makpid not to get married in shul, and I think it's a good kapeda. But you can't, you know, Lamaisa or Moshe go on the door, so he said it was mutter. So I'll go to a wedding, and, you know, if it's in shul, you know, but. You know, I would, if somebody was asking me to have a choice of making a wedding in a hall that's not a shul, so there would be perhaps a preference to have a wedding in a place that's not shul for this reason. Now, any of you had?
Yeah. How about like walking down the aisle or things like that?
You're right. You're walking down. Most of the things that are, a lot of the things that are done at chassidus are non-Jewish derivatives. Walking down the aisle is one of them. Blumenkranz, I was talking to Moshe Shapiro, for example, who used to speak about that. I'll tell you another thing that's clearly from the church, is speaking under the chuppah. It's also from the church. You want to know somebody else from the church? A rabbi to give a sermon, a Shabbos morning sermon, that's also from the church. The rabbanim in Europe didn't speak Shabbos morning. That came from the church. Reform got it from the church, and then the Orthodox took it from Reform. But the only time Rabbanim spoke, the European Rabbanim spoke, was on Shabbos Shuvah and Shabbos Hagadol. That was the drasha. The two drashas a year, Shabbos Shuvah and Shabbos Hagadol. They could give other shiurim, but this, the Paschal Chilus and things like this. But the idea of the rabbi getting up and giving a drasha. That the Reform started that, and they got that from the church. Because in the church, the minister was it was interesting. I was in Florida 2 weeks ago for an offer of the chassida of one of my talmidim. So there were a lot of things going on in that hotel. So there was a Seventh-day Adventist contingency, and then there was a Christian contingency as well. They had a website, godisobvious.com. somebody said I should go in the next room to hear that the preacher was giving his very stark, but so the Leibitzchus is the Rabbanim felt, the American rabbinate felt that this is the time that they can educate their constituency. So it's Yesh Protam. So, according to the Vilna Gaon, I don't know, is this Mamash Chok L'Avodah Zarah, the sermon and the part of, you know, maybe the Vilna Gaon would still say not to do it. But Rabbanim that, you know, who are still, you know, very, like the late Rabbik Zatzal, who are Rabbanim in America, but well, very much of not getting Americanized at all, would never give, a drasha on the Shabbat, unless there was some occasion that, you know, that they would speak for something, but would not give a regular drasha on the Shabbos morning, because that also is part of that notion. So that's the question. If somebody if there's a reason, so then, so according to the Ramon, then maybe that trumps, you know, Yesh Bo Tam. So that could, and the Vilna Gaon says, no, it's not going to, Yesh Bo Tam, but we're learning from them. So if we're not learning from them, we would figure it out on our own, that's okay. Even though Yesh Bo Tam, because we're not really learning from them. Unless it's Chokhmah Avodah Zarah. If it's Chokhmah Avodah Zarah, then the Gra says, then we can't touch it, no matter what. Even if we're not learning from them, we have to abandon. We have to abandon. In fact, there even was a discussion in the Poskim. There's a safer psak called Krach Shel Romi. And it discusses how certain Chazanim used to go to the church and listen to the Nikudim from outside to hear them and incorporate it in the Yom Naroim Davni. Because what was their logic? So it's obviously they have, these Gentiles have a musical talent to order the people, to inspire people. So why not use that for our... So that's something to Yesh Bo Tam. But on the other hand, it's part of their Chokhmah Avodah Zarah or something like that. So it might be problematic. But there are poskim, you know, in that Shuba of Krach Shel Romi, it's called, that's the name of the Sefer Shuv Krach Shel Romi, who permitted Akedei Kach even to go to the... go to the church to listen to the Nigulim. In the Shulchan Aruch, the post can say that the Chazan that does that is right to fire him. If we find out that he's using the tombs from the church, that's right to fire such a Chazan.
The Machlokas about getting married in Shul, is that only between the Vilna Gaon or even within the Ramban? Meaning,
according to the Vilna Gaon, that's a Chokhmah Avodah Zarah. According to the Ramah,
is there a reason that they was a reason why they were being married? And they're a big open space.
So I guess you could say according to the Ramah, it's Yesh Bo Tam. It's Yesh Bo Tam. So therefore, it's a big open space. So therefore, that would if it's Yesh Bo Tam. So unless you say that they were doing it, in other words, why were they originally doing it? Were they doing it originally because it just was convenient, or were they doing it for that? But you're right. Within the Ramah, maybe there's room, much more room to.
Were they primarily answering?
I don't know if they spoke about, you know, they just said the Goyim are doing this, and that's and the Maria Sad had this tshuva about, you know, he compares it to the Matzeva, that once the Goyim do it, then that's yeah. You asked about yarmulkes. So the Taz says, the famous sheet of the Taz that says the what? In other words, it used to be in the Gemara, it seems that the wearing of a yarmulke is the Midas Chasidus. And it's not so clear that there was an obligation to wear a yarmulke. It was only Midas Chasidus. But the Taz says that Zman Hazeh, maybe it's. It's an obligation because the non-Jews are dafka not wearing it, and so therefore maybe it comes under the category of mechusei lo seleif, that we're not wearing it, or us not wearing it is following the non-Jews, unless you say that. Like someone would say that no, they're not wearing, the reason why they're not wearing it is not for religious reasons, just uncomfortable. So they don't want to wear it. So maybe, so the same reason that the goyim don't want to wear it, so the Jews also maybe don't want to wear it, and therefore maybe it's not under the category of a kosher. But they supposed to point out that prayer might be different. Because a prayer, the doctor, take it off. The doctor, take it off. So for us to take it off during during prayer, that would be you know, a possible violation. So Moshe speaks about this in the Tshuva. And he entertains the possibility that if somebody was davening and didn't wear a yarmulke, they might have to repeat Shmon Esrei. Because the tefillah is a toleva. It's an abomination because they were doing a maisa shel avodah zarah with their doing a maisa shel avodah zarah during the tefillah. So that's an abomination. So maybe that could warrant the repetition of Shmon Esrei. You know. Okay. Now, also part of this, also part of the discussion is also various things that go on in the shul. But one was the playing of the organ. That was a big thing that the church and the reform took from the church was playing of the organ. And you know, so there were two aspects of playing the organ. One was they play, you know, to get a goy to play the organ on Shabbos. So that was a question of Amir al-Akum, but some say that it's only the Rabbanan to play a musical instrument, so you get a goy, so it's a shvus to shvus, a makom mitzvah, I don't know you want to say, but so, and then the issue of Bechuv HaSeim, that was part of their the ceremony of the shul, of this church rather, is to have an organ. So then that's also Bechuk HaSeim Lo Seilechum. So that was also a discussion. But then another big issue, very high issue, was the issue of Bima Be'emtza. That in the church, the Bima, the altar, was always in front. And that's how all the Reformed shuls had the bima in front, like the church. And then a lot of the old Orthodox shuls also had the bima be'emtza because they were copying the Reform. And part of these, the Rabbanim, these Hungarian Rabbanim that said you can't get married in the shul, they also said you can't go into a shul that has the bima in front. Get married shul that has the bima in front.
Do you want to talk about the Kriya?
Anything.
In my shul, for example, I know we have a bima in front and in the
middle. You have what?
Which one?
You have a bima with?
The Aaron Kodesh and the president.
Aaron Kodesh, the president, and the rabbi.
Right.
And where they laying the Torah?
That's
fine. No, the platform in front. That's okay. You can have a platform in front. In fact, I was just preparing a shiur for my Talmidim about Birkas Kohanim. And, you know, the minute that Birkas Kohanim on a platform, the Kohanim, the Duchat means a platform. Some say it's Ma'akid, some say it's not Ma'akid, most say it's not Ma'akid. But there's a minute that the Kohanim are elevated. Okay, so, so that's not the real question. Is like the bima meaning where you lay the Torah from. So in the Reform shuls, the Reform synagogues, they put it in front. And that's in the church. I assume when you go into any, you know how to go into a church. But if you're in the church, the altar is in front. So that's why these same Rabbanim who asked the weddings, they asked even to go into such a shul. Even to go into such a shul. Now, if you look in the Rambam and the Kesef Mishnah, they basically seem to say very pragmatic that the reason why a bima should be be'emtza so you can be able to hear better. But if the implication is that if the shul is not so big, then there's nothing wrong. Right? But the issue then comes the same issue again. That if the goyim, in other words, so it could be mikra hadin, the bima could be in front. If the whole point that you should have the bima be'emtza, the kesef mishnah writes is what? So people can hear. It shouldn't be hard to hear. But the bima is in front, so it's going to be hard to hear. So there's no big deal. But the same point, that once the goyim, that became the way they do their service, then what? We can't do it that way. We can't do it that way. So again, Moshe, the Moshe in a certain sense was a revolutionary. Because he basically, you know, it was matter things that the Rabbanim assumed were usher for hundreds of years.
Yeah. Did the Rav also say that?
In
the marriages, like if it's not by like conservative rabbi, it's considered
not. Oh, we'll talk in a second. But the so again, Rav Moshe says that it's not the best thing to have. Not the best thing to have a bima in the front, but you're allowed to, and preferably you should daven in a shul that has a bamsa, but he says you're allowed to go in. You're allowed to go in, you have a bar mitzvah there, you can go in, you can daven there, etc. So again, so this is even perhaps maybe a more sticky issue than the weddings, because this, why are you doing it? I don't know, like, why are you doing it in the front? Just maybe it's just architecturally more convenient because the front is the platform and therefore you want to put it in the front. As I said, the Ikaret did, it was real mutter. The Kesef Mishnah just said it was just a practical thing of hearing. But then that's that same thing of the Maseva, that once the Goyim Dafka did it that way, that's part of their cult, the Avodah Zarah, then we have to retract. And we can't do it that way.
Is it brought down maybe in the Shulchan Aruch something about shoes, they were black shoes?
So the shoelace issue is a very important issue, what you're saying. And that is, the shoelaces, the Gemara says that normally you have to give your life up for Gimel Averis. Shvichas Domim, Gimel Arayis, and Avodah Zarah. Three cardinal sins. Because if they say to violate, you better get killed than violate these Averis. But B'Shas Hashmad, when it's a time that the Goyim are not allowing us to worship the mitzvahs freely, then we have to give up our lives even on shoelaces. So what does that mean, even on shoelaces? So the different pshatim. So some of Rishonim have learned that the Goyim use one type of shoelace and we use the other type of shoelace. And to use their type of shoelace, to wear their type of shoelace is aser. And in fact, if you look in that Shuvas Marik that I quoted initially, he discussed that the Goyim wore red shoelaces, and the Jews wore black shoelaces. And red is considered preachers, because red is, it's not considered a tzanua color. That's why many women won't wear red blouses or things like that. Because red catches the eye, it's much more So some want to say that that's pshat in the. So that's what the Marik says, that that's pshat in the Gemara, that dafka the goyim were using. It's not so much if the goyim would have had brown and we'd have black, no big deal. But it's that the goyim had lot streaks of sticker things, and that's from Kulosayim and Bishas Hashmad. You can't do something that looks makes you look like a goy. That was the and the girl right for that. You see, the Boshet Shalom the Gemara, it just means that they had a different type of shoelace that we did. But the Marik wants to say this pshat that no, after they had the red and we had the black. I remember one of the first years that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik returned to the yeshiva. The Rav Aaron was here in the old days in the 60s. And then he started his own yeshiva in Chicago, etc. But then when the Rav wasn't well, then they brought Rav Aaron Soloveitchik back to the yeshiva here. So one of the first years, the first year he came, the yeshiva was like Sukkos. So the Sukkos, the Sukkos, and so I remember sitting in his shir, I think, so he said over a pshat once, another pshat from the Shultas, that Gemara about the shoelaces. Different pshat than the shoelaces. You know pshat than the shoelaces? Pshat has nothing to do with the color. Pshat than the shoelaces means like this. That what the guy would do is he would untie your shoelace, so you'd have to bend down to tie your shoelace. In the meantime, you put Rav Rezara in front of you, so it would be looking like you're bowing down to the Avodah Zarah. So it's a Marasayim of Avodah Zarah. And that's what the Gemara says is Yared Val Yavra B'Shas Hashmah. That's the shoelace. Nothing to do with the color and this and that. A whole different shot with the shoelaces. Yeah.
Either way, you're going to tell a shmad or not. You're going to have to either choose to bow down or not bow down. So, what's he saying?
No, it's not like you're going to bow down. It's that it looks like you're bowing down to the Avodah Zarah. So, really, you're not bowing down to the Avodah Zarah. It's not like you're bowing down to the Avodah Zarah. You're just bowing down to tie your shoelaces. But it looks like you're bowing down to the Avodah Zarah because you're bowing down and there's an Avodah Zarah there. It's just that you were doing it for your shoelaces. You really weren't doing it for the Avodah Zarah. Okay. Another discussion of Chukas Akum is shaving. We know that a priest is called a galach, right? Because he shaves. A priest is a galach, he shaves. So that clearly was a practice of Avodah Zarah. I mean, the whole idea of a payas as well was. First, you know, there are two issues of shaving. You know, there's a lav in the Torah of shaving. That you can't shave with a razor. That's a lav of the Torah. But it could be that besides a lav of the Torah, maybe you also violate the Chusay Moselechim. So that was a discussion. You know, there's a famous tshuva in the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer was asked, does a Jew need to have a beard? Is that a Jewish thing? Or is it that there's an issue to shave with a razor? But if I can find a way that it's winter to shave, so then there's no, like, with powder. That was the old way they shaved in the yeshivas in Europe. Okay? They shaved with, it wasn't the most pleasant way, but you had this powder that would burn off your thing. It wasn't the, you know, go
on. It's military powders.
Yeah. Right.
Creams now.
The creams, the powders, yeah. So maybe that maybe that's what the lechatchila, because there it's clearly not a tar, so the tar there shouldn't be any prohibition. So Chassid Sofer says in the Tshuva that the famous Mekubal, the Ramami Pandit, is a famous Mekubal, Ramanachem Azari, Ramah, Rem, Reshem Mem Ayin, Ramami Pandit. It's clean shape. So he says, he from there, that there's no Indian that a Jew has to have a beard per se. And, you have to check. I don't know. But that's what has to say. Some people want to say it's a forgery, the Tshuva, you know, every interesting Tshuva, you know, there's always going to be someone who's going to say it's a forgery. But, again, this is the assumption that we're shading today is the issue, you know, is it a problem of time? And some folks could say the electric shave is not a problem. Some just, you know, not tar, or some say certain parts of shavings are problems, and right. Shavings.
What's
tar? Tar is a razor. It's a, you know, the real thing is to take the, razor
isn't
directly to your skin.
Isn't the mustard, wasn't it forbidden for orphans that would wear like the lion used to shave?
Right.
Well, I mean, now, right. Now it's different, so. I mean, it's an easier way to go about staying clean shaven. Why is it still mustard? Supposed to some other things that have been.
Which way? Shaving with the razor. Right, shaving with the razor, and this is the rice.
Because it was.
The Zoroaster, it could be the Tommy Amitsis that some gave, is that was the minute of the old day of the Zoroaster.
And I'm saying nowadays, though, it's not. I mean, it's just.
Yeah, but it's a lot in the Torah. We don't change. Orthodox Judaism doesn't work that way, that we say that, you know, Moshe Bakalov also could have been. A Avodah Zarah practice. And we don't say, well, that was then, now that's not going to be possible. In other words, you know, that's the main difference between the orthodoxy and other things. You know, we don't have the right to. And we assume that the Tamei HaMitzvahs, and there's an Indian to learn Tamei HaMitzvahs, but we can't go therefore go and reapply the applicability of mitzvahs based on our assumption of what the Tamei HaMitzvahs are. Because we always assume that there's higher reasons than even the Tamei HaMitzvahs that we can give. That's the Torah. And Rabbans also. One common example would be taking medicine on Shabbos. Right? There's this is taking medicine on Shabbos. Unless you're mamish laying in bed or you can't mamish function. There are some heterim, so if you have a shayla, you should ask. You should just assume it's also. But basically, it's like you have a little headache, you know, you feel a little comfortable, you want to take an aspirin so that you can't do it on Shabbos. Because Uzman Chazal, when you take medicine, that meant you would grind it. You would come to grind to make the medicine. Now today, who's going to grind, right? He just take a pill. So no grinding anymore. But yet, he's still acid. So that's what Shabbos pointed out. The Poskim assumed that's called the Dovish of a Minyan. And whenever Chazal's got together and they voted on something and they assumed it's usur, so even if the reason no longer applies, we can't repeal that takana. Unless there's a benefit that's great. You know, it could be the Mashiach comes on the Sanhedrin, maybe we could revisit certain issues. But today, and that's, I think, the main difference between the Orthodoxy and others is this notion, which other branches of Judaism say no. Times change. So why do we need acid medicine? And why do we have to have Yom Tov Sheni anymore? Right? Yom Tov Sheni was they didn't know which day. Now we know the day. So what's the problem? Right? And we assume, no, that these are Tachanis Chazal, and we don't change them. And the only time they could change is some of them is of a Bezdin Gadol B'Chochmah of Midian could come and repeal them. Yes.
On that topic of based on Shabbos, but just what if it's physically not possible to grind? What if it's liquid medicine? You still say the same thing, you know?
Yeah, even liquid medicine is usur. Even physically not possible, even liquid medicine is just as usur as solid medicine. Again, if a person's a chola, then you know they're heterim, but
Also on this topic, are sleeping pills considered medicine? It's not for conditions.
Okay, maybe we should have a whole other share of that. But yeah, because that might be, unless you, I don't know, in terms of, we can talk about it outside the shares. But, you know, certain things, you know, there are causes in certain situations a person might wish to get a function that could be maybe, but I don't want to make, give it a chance to stop now and then try it right there. So maybe another time we could have a whole share of this before the Shabbos. Okay, so shaving was, so I guess others would say that people shave because, why do people shave today? Most people shave today because they just don't want to have hair on their face. They don't want to have, you know, it's like, they don't feel comfortable. So maybe it's, that's called Yeshua Tam. So Yeshua Tam, so they're not necessarily doing it to be like Goyim. For the same reason that the Goyim are shaving, so maybe the Jews are shaving also. I don't know, was it a folk? I don't know, is that part of, according to the Bra, anything that's a folk of a Zara doesn't matter, so I don't know, it could be. There could be room to say that according to the draw, maybe that would be more of an issue. That if it would be, I don't know what the rules are in the church. I mean, the priests have to allow them, but everyone else, more Christians are clean shaven.
No, I'm saying when it's like preference of, you know, very, very few guys have huge beards. You know, nobody doesn't touch their beard.
Yeah. I mean, having a beard also is, has Kabbalistic ideas also. It's supposed to represent the Midas HaRachamim. You know, the B'nai Soskar says that if you're learning a sugya, you're having difficulty in the sugya, if you just stroke your beard a couple of times, that's more the Midas HaRachamim, because the different parts of the beard are supposed to represent the 13 Midas HaRachamim, and it's more the Midas HaRachamim. And the Pikabalah, you know, there's an Indian not even to trim the beard at all, and etc. But those are other reasons. They say the Ramchal was clean shaven. That's what they say. And you know what they say? The Vilna Gaon said he would walk. I don't know how long to meet the, you know, every word in the supposedly in the Mesilas Yesharim is, you know, every word is a diktuk is, and it's the Vilna Gaon who said he would walk, you know, to the end of the world to see the Ramchal. So. So I don't know how all these things work out, you know. it's not for us to work these things out. Okay. We'll maybe review the next couple of minutes what we did. But any questions on anything that we did today? Okay. So let's. Yeah, it's a hard topic. It's You see, one question let me raise. This is a question. What, according to Vilna Gaon, gives me the right to wear this type of shirt? This type of tie? So, I've been struggling with this question for a long time. In other words, again, the Vilna Gaon sheet is that even if it's Yesh Bo Tam, but. So I saw in an RJJ journal that someone wrote, but somehow this doesn't get associated with Goyim per se. Where certain, with like the certain cloaks, distinguished cloaks, are more associated.
Why is the shirt
that was originally made? Well, this is the who made these shirts? Because who designed this type of shirt? So,
I think we associate dark suits and white shirts and maybe even a tie with what like the majority of Asians these days wear. The majority of from Torah and maybe not.
Yeah, I'm saying, but where does it come from? Where did these shirts come from?
Europe. More white shirts.
No, this type of shirt. Where was it? Was it the Goyim? Was
it because the Goyim invented it? Even though it wasn't used to
wear. Who was it shot that the Goyim originally wore these? And then we, I don't know. I mean, the Jews start wearing this? I don't know. I would have to do.
They start wearing it equal way at the same time.
Yeah. In other words, even if a guy invented it, and Mashen came the, I guess the case of Marik was where the guy started using it, and then questions: could the Jews use it also? So maybe Rabbi Nevis is saying maybe it was produced, but no one wasn't that the guy were wearing it. Rabbi Nevis is saying it could be that. It was produced, and then everyone wore it. The Jews wore it, the Goyim wore it, everyone. So it never was associated with Goyim per se. That could be. Okay, so we discussed the Ramah says that the Marik, anything of Pritzus and in Botam is Usser, and Marik explains, and the, which we call the Marab Shik explains, because why are you doing these things if it's priests of Seyna Matam? Obviously you're doing it because you want to be like the Goyim. And the Gross says, even if Yesh Matam, if we're learning from them, then if we could have figured it out on our own, that's different. But if we're learning from them, we wouldn't have figured it out on our own, then we can't do it. And Achok Lavar Zara, even if we could figure it out on our own, and even if it's in the recorded in the Chumash, we can't do it. So that's what Rabbi Gedalia Berg pointed out. The Gaon Lechora would argue with the original heter of Marik for the doctors to wear that special cloak, and perhaps would argue with the graduation suits, the graduation cap and gown, and the Gra also prohibited the foliage in Shavuos because that was. The way one of the Svarim explains, Sefer Tosem Lo Silechu explains that it was a Chok L'Avodah Zarah. So therefore, even though we have been Hagim to do it, Zecher the foliage by Manu Harsina, if you read that, but once they do it, they take it away, and it's we quoted it then by the Matzeva. And even though the Ovos use the Matzeva, but now the Goyim use it, so we can't. Well, this is about, right, Asher Sonei El Hashem Elokecha, classic says. And that's the discussion of getting married in shul, because once the Jews would get married in shul originally, that's the Mariel quotes, but then the Goyim started getting married, so then maybe we're not allowed to get married anymore in shul. That was many Rabbanim took on this idea. Rav Moshe said, no, the Yisra would only be to get married in a church, because or else Rav Moshe said, why are we allowed to daven? So we thought, suggested, maybe Rabbi Berger suggested others, that no, it's different. Davening is a mitzvah to daven in shul. So that they can't take away. But marriage, there's no mitzvah to get married in a shul. And then we discussed the truth of the Krach Shalromi, that they used to listen to the Nigunim from the church, and the poskim Shulchan Aruch, and the Rabbanim, some Rabbanim said that was okay. And others say no, because you get fired for such a thing. Then we discussed the Bima Mamsa, and Kesem Mishra says it's just a practical thing, Bima Mamsa. So you people get here. But as we said before, but once the Goyim Dafka use it, do it this way, then for us to copy is same Lo Selecho. And then, to conclude the question, what about the celebration of Thanksgiving? Celebration of Thanksgiving. Are you allowed to celebrate Thanksgiving? So is that Chukas Akum?
Do you suppose that?
It's Yesh Bo Tam.
It's not used for the Ravod of any explicit use to
any. I don't know. The pilgrims, they were Christians. And what did they do with the turkey? Did they sacrifice the turkey? Or did they just ate turkey?
Just on dinner.
Just a turkey dinner. There's a whole discussion about this. The Yesh Bo Tam, I don't know, used after white a turkey in Bo Tam. No, but a person doing Thanksgiving dinner, taking a turkey, not a turkey, you don't call it a Thanksgiving dinner.
Stuffing,
right? So I don't know, is that called Yesh Bo Tam? I don't know if that's such a tam. So, it's not so kosher. It's not so kosher.
Well, it's time for Thanksgiving, like, give thanks. So, at least that in its most, like fundamental form is that, for sure.
Yeah, you can give thanks. You can have more kavod and modim.
Turkey's kosher
modim. Kosher
modim. You just say money on the other
side. Modim, I'm trying to show. Right. You know, people, I mean, there's a lot of talk in this community, in the RJJ general, something, you know, people know this stuff. But, I don't know. Is it so punch that. It's not just a question whether you're allowed to eat turkey. That's not a question. Some people don't eat turkey because there's no masorah on turkey. That wasn't, you know, that wasn't one of the offers that were mentioned in the Torah. The question is the form of chicken or not. So, that's one thing. So, many of us are make dog eat turkey. Maybe we should, but many of us are make eat turkey.
Is it a carnivorous bird or something left in the wild? Because in the wild it's.
But even if you're going to say that you can eat turkey, you can have a turkey dinner at Thanksgiving, you know. Maybe you should think about it in terms of the discussion we had today. Okay, Rabosai, it's a pleasure once again to be here. And,